name is Sarah Lindenbar, and if this is your first time tuning in, on this show, I give advice to any folks and creatures who may need it. Did you miss me, listeners? I missed you. But namorous alive did I need that vacation. I spent the first few days just lying around the tree catching up on some reading. But I knew I wasn't going to get a break like this again for a while, so I did a bit of traveling. I went to the Flower Festival in the hills of Longfourn. Then I went to the Lower Marshlands and took a tour of the oldest wand-making shop in Grevlon. Oh, and I also went to the Poer Book Festival. Got a lot of books, did a lot of festival. Great time! I knew I wanted to get a bunch of souvenirs for folks, but whenever I travel, I have so much trouble picking out gifts for people. Like, sure, Rager would probably love that wooden sword that says, "My best friend went to the hills of Longfourn and all I got was this lousy wooden sword." But what if a couple days later I find an even cooler wooden sword that says, "My best friend went to the Lower Marshlands and all I got was this lousy wooden sword?" It's not like I can go return the first one. I'm in a whole different region. So my solution to this was to just try to pick up a bunch of nice, non-personal souvenirs that I can decide how to distribute once I return home. That way, I don't have to make any more decisions than I need to while I'm trying to relax on vacation. The issue is that now I have to make those decisions. I got a box of chocolate-covered joyberries, a Whiston flower crown, a fire globe, a wooden bowl with a smaller wooden bowl inside and a smaller wooden bowl inside of that, and, oh, a certificate of adoption for a bear bat named Pleep from the Grobeck Bear Bat Sanctuary. You don't actually keep the bear bat. It's more of a symbolic thing. I also got a bunch of miscellaneous finger puppets. So who's gonna get what? Hey, Reuven, which souvenir do you want? You get first pick. He's thinking. Okay, no, actually, I think he's just ignoring me. Okay, well, our station manager, Reuven, is getting whatever's left over. I need to think on this. In the meantime, let's get on with the show. If you need some advice, send your letters to Dearless Fira at the Towering Forest radio station. Our first letter comes from Urway. They write, "Dearless Fira, I have two best friends, one from childhood and one I met at Back and Cats Academy. They're both very important to me. My childhood friend, Lorelia, has been with me during our most formative years and knows me better than anyone. My academy friend, Vist, was my rock during exams and has always been someone I can turn to during difficult times. Last week, Lorelia and Vist met for the first time. I really expected them to get along. I'm friends with both of them, so why wouldn't they be friends with each other, right? But as soon as they set eyes on each other, they both began glowing. Not in a good way. Magical auras surrounded both of them, and Lorelia's eyes glowed bright green while Vist began levitating. Spectral weapons appeared in their hands, a broadsword for Lorelia and two curved blades for Vist. I'll be honest, I didn't really know what to do in this situation, but it looked like my two best friends were about to attack each other, so I used a bucket to throw water onto Lorelia and then threw the bucket at Vist. That was enough to knock them out of the magical effect that was happening. After I got some ice for Vist, the bucket hit them on the head, we eventually figured out that Lorelia and Vist's families have a long-standing feud. Neither of them know exactly what the feud is about, but they knew that if they ever encountered a member of the other family, their ancestral defensive magic would kick in, like I watched happen. Thankfully, it seemed like the defensive magic was shut off by the shock of the water and the bucket. That is, until Lorelia left to use the bathroom. When she returned, the auras came back, as did the glowing eyes and the levitating and the spectral weapons. This time, I tossed the water onto Vist and hit Lorelia with the bucket, just to even it out. Once I'd gotten ice for Lorelia, I got the head again, we agreed it'd be best for Lorelia and Vist to not see each other, which I'm really bummed about. Vist recently moved nearby, so I was excited to be able to hang out with my two best friends. And in the time that they weren't about to kill each other, they seemed to really get along. Can I only hang out with my friends together if I blindfold them? Or do I have to keep hitting them with a bucket? Appreciate any advice. Thanks, Urway." You know, this exact thing happened to me once. Okay, no, that's not really true, but it was very similar. Okay, it wasn't very similar, but there were some similarities. My best friend Radra introduced me to her friend from school, and we got along pretty well, until I found out that his favorite book in the Chimera's Maze Chronicles was Fire and Fire, which is, like, objectively the worst book in the whole series. I really thought he was joking, until he was like, "Yeah, that book is when Genra's character finally made sense." Excuse me? Genra's character made absolutely no sense in that book. It was like a whole different... Sorry. I can't get worked up about fire and fire again. We don't have time for that. So I didn't really hang out with Raidra's friend much after that. But Raidra was okay with it. Plus, she stopped hanging out with him after she caught him trying to steal her favorite flute. Last time I saw him, he had a rope tied around his ankle and was dangling from a whipland tree trying to get himself loose. Anyway, your situation's a bit different from that, obviously. It seems like this magical effect is taking control of your friends, even though they want to be friendly with one another. Personally, I'd ask, why? What was the root of this feud? Who put this magical trigger into place, and how? And most importantly, can it be broken? I'd say your best bet is to have a curse breaker take a look at your friends. And have your friends talk to their family members about the feud. If their family knows as little about it as they do, maybe there are some old journals or diaries from their ancestors that might shed some more light on the feud. If you're able to figure out what caused the rift between the families, then maybe your friends can take steps to ameliorate whatever displeased their ancestors. Even something symbolic can go a long way when it comes to breaking ancestral curses. In the meantime, maybe you could try finding a less aggressive way to snap your friends out of it when they trigger the feud magic. Water seems to work, so maybe some kind of water spray charm? Just enough to knock them out of it, without having to actually knock them on the heads. Hope that helps, and good luck! Thanks for writing in! Our next letter comes from Yaumeya. They write, "Dearest Fira, my name is Yaumeya. I'm a traveling adventurer, so I spend my days trekking around Grevlon, slaying beasts, breaking curses, and saving folks. It's tough work, but someone's got to do it. I've been in this profession for a couple years now, and have built up quite a reputation. Well, numerous reputations. You see, in some places I'm lauded as a hero, for things like stopping a magically induced flood, or saving a child from a well, or solving a Sphinx's riddle so the town folks could finally be freed from being asked a bunch of riddles all the time. But in other places, my reputation isn't as good. Sometimes, in the course of attempting to make things better, some things get a little worse. Like the time I accidentally set fire to the mayor's cottage while trying to expel the spirit that was possessing her. Or the time I crashed a flying carpet into the stage at a magic pageant, catapulting the runner-up into the audience. Or the time I caused a small avalanche while trying out my new magical boots of stomping rocks. All of these accidents were a result of the pursuit of doing good, but it's hard to convince people of that when their house is on fire, or their stage is destroyed, or when I'd been heard almost moments before the avalanche saying, "Watch me stomp this boulder." After traveling for a while, it's getting harder to keep track of the status of my reputation in each place I travel to. Last week, I'd arrived in Delmont, a town I'd once rescued from a grass tornado, expecting to be greeted with cheers. As I was swiftly chased out of town by the locals, I caught a glimpse of the welcome sign and realized that I was actually in Delville, which had all its grass temporarily turn aggressive and try to pull everyone into the ground due to me messing up a lawn trimming spell. You can see where my confusion came from. Delmont, Delville. Grass tornado, scary grass that stole my boots of rock stomping. So on to my need for advice. How do I keep track of my reputation in different towns? It's hard to remember where I'll be welcomed as a hero or chased out as a villain. I was thinking that maybe I could leave a little sticker on the town sign that's color-coded to remind me where I stand with the town. Green could mean, "You're a hero here." Red could mean, "Stay away." And yellow could mean, "They don't like you, but they won't chase you out." The only issue is that sometimes I'm chased out so fast that I wouldn't have time to leave the sticker. Thanks, Yaumeya. Okay, so I think you might be focusing on the wrong issue here. If it were me, I'd be more concerned about why I'm essentially banned from so many towns that I'm considering creating a system to remind me to avoid those towns. I understand that mistakes can happen, but how do I put this nicely? If the mistakes are happening at the frequency that they seem to happen to you, you might want to consider taking some time off from adventuring to work on your skills a little more. And to address the issue you brought to me with this letter, a way to avoid ending up in towns where they might chase you out could be to mend your relationships with those towns. I understand that sometimes it might be difficult to make apologies when you're being chased, but I do wonder whether you were given opportunities to make amends and opted instead to be run out of town. Feels like we might be missing some of the story here, especially because looking at this letter, I'm seeing very little remorse for the mistakes you made. So, to summarize, my suggestion is take a break from adventuring. Grevlon will survive. There are many people who are very capable of adventuring and protecting folks, especially without causing avalanches while doing so. In the meantime, visit the towns you negatively affected and do what you can to make things right. And not because you want them to start treating you as a hero, because you made mistakes. And even if it was in the pursuit of doing a good thing, doesn't mean you don't need to apologize for it. Also, don't stomp a boulder without first ensuring that it's not a load-bearing boulder. Come on now. I hope that helps. Thanks for writing in. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to take a call. If you need some advice, you can tell your speaking plant to call Dearless Fira at the Towering Forest radio station. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Tired of camping on the side of the road during your adventures? Does your back hurt from sleeping on a lumpy bedroll night after night? Have you had too many sleepless nights because your traveling companion pretended to be in too deep of a sleep to relieve you from watch duty? Then it's time to check in at the Check-In. Our hospitable staff is ready to greet you with open arms and welcome you to the most relaxing night of your travels. Come rest your head on the most comfortable pillows in Grevlon in one of our 6 award-winning rooms, designed to bring the maximum amount of comfort to all of our guests. Have some weapons in need of sharpening? Our on-site blacksmith has you covered. Your weapons will be the sharpest and shiniest you've ever seen them by the time you're ready to check out. Though if we're really being honest, no one's ever ready to check out of the Check-In. Need to soak your feet after weeks of traveling on foot? Our spa has everything you need, from foot soaks to face masks. We give our guests the pampering they deserve, and we'll leave you so relaxed you'll never want to leave. And of course, everyone is in need of a hot, hearty meal after months of drelai beans and cold gravy. Our chefs will prepare you once-in-a-lifetime delectable meals that will both fill you up and make you count the minutes until the next one. But after just one meal at the Check-In, you'll want nothing more than to rest your head on one of our gollywaddle feather pillows and drift off to a deep, deep sleep. We still have some vacancies, so it's time to act fast. Tell your speaking plant to make your reservation at the Check-In today. The Check-In. You'll never want to check out.
And we're back with Dearless Fira. Okay, Reuven, I've been thinking about it, and I think I'm going to give my mom's the chocolate-covered joy berries and the wooden bowls, my brother Lenroll the bear-bat adoption certificate, Rager the flower crown, and you the fire glow... Oh, no, that won't work. Rager's allergic to Whiston flowers. Okay, I'll give Rager the joy berries, but Mom really loves those chocolate-covered joy berries. Well, maybe I'll give the fire globe to Lenroll. No, he can't travel with that. Reuven, this is very difficult. I'll keep working on it. In the meantime, let's take a call. It looks like we have a caller on the vine. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Lysphira. Be quiet. I'm going to ask.
Hi there. What's your name?
I'm Dinevef. I've also got some friends here, but they have terrible speaking plant etiquette, so I've been assigned the job as caller.
What can I help you all with?
So, we're trying to get through this door, but there's a face in it.
There's a face? Like someone sticking their head through a window in the door?
No, it's like a magically animated wooden face that's carved into the door itself.
Oh, of course, yes.
It's a part of this bigger dungeon we're going through, trying to retrieve this stolen locket. Long story. Point is, we're stuck at this door with a face who won't let us through without solving its riddle.
Okay, is it a difficult riddle?
Not really. But the sign here says, answer my question, you only get one try. So we have to make sure we get it right.
What's the riddle?
Well, that's also an issue. There's one word in the riddle that half of us are hearing differently from the other half. We've had the door recite it like 5 times now, and we just can't agree on what it's saying.
Can you have the door say the riddle again?
Sure, hang on. Door, please recite the riddle. Again.
I have 4 eyes that do not blink. Split in half, you're left with 2. Lead me to water, and I will drink. Poke my side, and I will mew. What am I?
I will... Just writing this down. Nameless alive, the door really doesn't enunciate. Okay, so what's the word you're hearing differently?
So me and my one friend think it's, lead me to water, and I will shrink.
That's what I heard.
Thank you. But the two others think it said, lead me to water and I will drink.
Oh, no, I don't think it said... Oh, hang on. Our station manager, Reuven, is nodding. Reuven, you were listening? I didn't know you actually listened unless I made you pay attention. Huh. You heard drink? Yep, he heard drink. Interesting.
And that word's kind of the deciding factor for the answer to the riddle. I think that the answer is a Sundarian hydra.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It never blinks, has two heads from birth, and will just keep growing back those two heads if they're cut off, unlike other hydra subspecies, which only start with one head that gets doubled if cut off. A Sundarian hydra also gets smaller in water, hence the shrinking, and it makes a whiny sound when poked. That's like mewing, right?
Right. But Team Drink over here thinks the answer is a sponge tato.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about food.
I have four eyes that do not blink. A sponge tato has four buds, or eyes, split in half and you're left with two. If you split a sponge tato in half, you get two halves. Lead me to water and I will drink. A sponge tato inflates, or drinks, the water when submerged. Poke my side and I will mew. If you poke a hole into a cooked sponge tato, it'll make a high-pitched sound as it releases steam.
Hmm, that is good. If the word is drink.
Right, but if the word is shrink, then Sundarian hydra makes more sense. But we can't agree on which word to go with, and we only get one guess.
Okay. I have four eyes that do not blink. Split in half, you're left with two. Yeah, that really works for both of them. Poke my side and I will mew. What am I? Hang on. You said there was a sign?
Yeah, it says, answer my question, you only get one try.
Answer my question? It says, answer my question, not answer my riddle.
What do you mean?
If it's asking you to solve a riddle, it should tell you to solve the riddle. But it's telling you to answer its question. And the only question it asks is, what am I?
But that's just how riddles like that work.
But what if the way through the door isn't solving the riddle? What if it's just answering the only question you're given and ignoring all the other stuff it says?
So you're saying you think the answer is just a door?
I mean, you can take a guess between the hydra and the sponge potato, but if the sign is telling you to answer the question, I say just answer the question.
Please hold.
Sure, no problem. Reuven, I'm thinking I'll give my mobs the joy berries and the fire globe, Lenroll the wooden bowls, Rager the bear bat certificate, and you'll get the flower crown. I think the orange flowers will really bring out your eyes. I actually have it here in my bag.
Okay, I'm back.
Oh, don't let me forget what I decided, Reuven. Great, what are you going to do?
Our answer is a door. It worked!
Yay! Whew, that's a relief. I was worried I was just being pedantic.
Thanks, Lyspira. We're going to go get that locket now.
Good luck, and thanks for calling.
Bye.
Okay, I've written it down, so I'll remember. And here's your flower crown, Reuven. Catch. Oh, he actually caught it. Put it on. Please. Oh, that's lovely. That looks really nice, Reuven. All right, listeners, I've got to go distribute the rest of these gifts. Thank you for listening to Dear Lyspira. Next up we have... The tippity-tapping-tap shoes of Tippy the Tip-Tap-Tap Dancer. Mouthful. I'll talk to you all again real soon. But in the meantime, keep your chin up and read every sign very carefully. Bye!
Thank you for listening to Dear Lyspira, which was created, written, and edited by Katie Siegel. Lyspira, the sponsor, and Dinevef and the Door were voiced by Katie Siegel. And I'm Nicole. Hi! If you enjoy the show and want to help it grow, please take a minute and leave a kind review on the Apple Podcast app. If you do, Katie will help you keep a log of your reputation status in every town you've been in. For more Dear Lyspira, check out @DearLyspira on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also join the Chattering Grove Discord. The link to that is in the description. Or don't. Live your life. Bye!